The match with Arkansas. I don't think Arkansas needs to get better at basketball. I don't even think they need to get better at playing road games. I just think they need to find a team that really, really sucks at home. Justin Akre, Chris Kane, Matty T with you today. We appreciate you tuning in today. I don't think Tennessee's necessarily that team, although I have not looked at the Tennessee home record. Chris, maybe you can dig up on that when you get time.
I can take care of it for you.
You know, the one team that really sucks both home and away is Auburn. And unfortunately, Arkansas gets them once this year. So the schedulers did them no favors and only playing Auburn once and only playing them in Fayetteville. That's the one game you'd love to trade out.
At least you have a great shot at a road victory whenever you play Auburn on the road based on history. I mean, the last two seasons. Three.
And then if you lose that game, because even the last two teams won at Auburn, even if you lose that game, then I can automatically say, you know what? I would write a letter to the NCAA and say, look, we don't deserve to come to your tournament this year. We'll catch you next year.
Handwritten.
But I don't even get to see that now. I mean, that to me is the that's the bottom of the barrel. If you can't win at Auburn, you don't deserve to play in the NCAA tournament. That should be an ultimate trump card. That's like you play Jokers or Wild.
Yeah.
And you pull out all of them but one Joker.
You lose to Auburn.
You're automatically
Auburn,
out.
You're out, no matter what your record is.
In fact, I think
you got 25 wins. Sorry,
any
you're
team
out.
In the SEC that loses at Auburn this year should automatically be disqualified from the NCAA tournament.
What about the SEC tournament?
You know what? Fine.
Just pile it on.
I don't have a problem with that. We need teams to work their way into the NIT. It's good for the league.
That's a good point.
So Arkansas, of course, the next task at hand is Tennessee. I don't know how Tennessee is at home. In fact, I'm going to tell you here in 2 seconds, because I've got it right in front of me, so don't even bother looking at it.
Oh, okay. I won't.
Tennessee's 2-2 in conference play. Overall, Tennessee is 8-2 at home. I don't know who Tennessee has lost to at home, although a quick look could probably tell
me
that.
NC State.
All right.
And Texas A&M.
All right.
They lost to A&M by 1 point.
They did not lose to Texas A&M at home.
At 1 point at home.
You suck, Tennessee. Come on, Arkansas. Now, look, the problem is McCray is a great scorer, and Jarnell Stokes is just a beast. He's averaging a double-double. In conference play. So that's not good.
That and last game he put up 20-15 against Kentucky. At Kentucky.
They lost, though.
Yeah, but still, he had a good game.
Admittedly. No, he's very good. And McCray's a consistent. I think McCray's averaging like 18 a game. So they've got a couple of nice pieces. Arkansas, it doesn't really matter who they play. Other teams that have really sucked at home. There's nobody in the SEC, remarkably, that has a losing record at home. I guess that's not really remarkable. But South Carolina is the next best thing. Arkansas plays at South Carolina, right?
Later in the season, you're talking here?
Yeah, that should be an even bigger gimmick. Look, dude, we got to find road wins. No, they get South Carolina at home. They don't play at South Carolina. Arkansas is getting screwed.
So you're just searching for road
wins
at this
point. Well, the worst road teams are these. South Carolina's 5-4 at home. Ole Miss has 4 losses at home at 7-4, but again, Marshall Henderson's been in and out of the lineup, so I can't put all that on them. I don't know how. I think they're better. Well, that's stupid. They're better when Henderson's playing, so maybe they lost a couple of games when he wasn't playing. Other teams with more than 2 losses. Auburn's the only other one, 8-3 at home.
How's LSU at home?
LSU at home is 7-2, so that's one of the 2 losses at home is pretty significant in this league because Florida's undefeated.
What about Vandy?
Georgia 1 loss, Kentucky none, Ole Miss 4, A&M 1. A&M's been 11-1 at home, so they're pretty good at home. Alabama 8-2. Arkansas plays at Alabama.
Last game of the season.
Yep. LSU 7-2. Mississippi State's 10-1. They've been good at the hump. They're 0-3 away from home, so Arkansas's not the only one. There are exactly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams. Nearly half of the league is winless on the road.
Wow. In SEC play?
No, overall.
Overall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, a lot of them have not played many road games.
Like Arkansas.
Correct. Correct.
That is right.
South Carolina's 0-5. Auburn's 0-3. Vandy's 0-4. Arkansas 0-2. Mississippi State, rather, 0-3. And Alabama's 0-4.
Arkansas getting the attention because it's not just this season.
Right?
It's every year for years past. I mean, we're talking dating back over a decade having troubles on the road, at least not winning, not even getting 500 on the road. You got to go back to the mid-90s.
You know how we always say thank God for Mississippi? In this case, you could say thank God for Auburn, because Auburn, I will give them credit, they're consistently terrible both home and away. Auburn is really, really bad, and they have been bad for an extended period of time.
What's interesting is they are really, really bad, and two of their scorers are top 3 in the SEC in points per game.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
They're not losing by much, but they've lost 20 of the last 21 conference games. It's the worst stretch in school history. I saw that in the Democrat Gazette today, so I will give credit for where it's due. The rest of this stuff I got from the SEC notes we got this week. And again, there aren't too many things that encourage me about Arkansas going on the road this week. Although I will say again, Tennessee is not one of the best teams in the league at home. They did lose to A&M at home. It's hard to believe, you know. And again, I guess they had a night where they shot poorly. Also, neither McCray nor Stokes, as they have been in almost every game but two this year, were the leading scorer. Some kid named Barton was the leading scorer for them that particular night. So if McCray and Jarnell Stokes both have terrible games and Arkansas for some reason gets it done in regulation, as they have not been able to do for three games, maybe they win this one.
Are you picking them to win?
No. Heck, are you crazy?
No.
I don't know. I will say this. I think the idiot odds makers in Vegas, and I don't normally say that because they're really good at what they do.
Typically.
Probably are not picking Arkansas as the favorite in this game. What do you think?
I doubt it, yeah. Especially after. But at the same time, do you think they pick them to be a favorite on the road against Georgia based on the win against Kentucky? Because I don't know how you pick them on the road to win, period, no matter who they're playing.
Hey, say this for Georgia. As bad as that team is, as marginal as they are overall, they are 8-1 at home.
They are.
So,
yeah.
They should be 7-2, admittedly, but, you know, whatever.
Well, as bad as Arkansas has been on the road, they're pretty good at home, too.
Oh, man, I don't know. It'd be nice to see him get a road win. I'm not confident at all. No surprise. Here's Mike Anderson talking about Jarnell Stokes. The guy's a beast. Remember, he was this close to coming to Arkansas.
This close.
How much better is Arkansas with Jarnell Stokes?
A lot better.
Arkansas's probably got three more wins minimum right now.
A lot better.
Yeah.
You're talking about a guy who's double-double waiting to happen.
He's the best player on the floor every night for Arkansas, and he makes Portis better. He makes Harris better. He makes...
that guy? Moses Kingsley?
Moses Kingsley, yeah. Better. But you know what? Right now, he just makes Tennessee better.
Well, just Jarnell. I mean, he's a guy that's getting better all the time. I think he's a junior now, and he's understanding what it takes to play and be a high level player in the SEC and being more consistent. But his physical. I mean, obviously, he knows how to use his body, and he's banging around that basket and making his free throws. I mean, he's getting fouled, he gets to the free throw line, so. I just think it's just maturity in his game, and he's growing up, and that's what good players do. He's always been a guy that's been a physical specimen, and now he's utilizing that to his advantage on the floor.
Mike Anderson says Jarnell Stokes knows how to use his body. More importantly to me, and my greater concern for the game tomorrow night, is that he knows how to use Arkansas's bodies like rag dolls, like everybody else has the last couple of games.
You know what I like about Jarnell Stokes? He's a big guy, and he knows it. He's not even that big of a guy, but he knows his role. You know how many three-pointers he's taken this year?
Hopefully not very many.
Zero.
Okay, could you please have him send a memo to Alandis Harris and Bobby Portis?
And Cody Clark while he's at it.
No. Cody Clark has had his moments. I don't even have a problem with him. He's 6'7".
Moments.
He's got to be able to be an outside-inside guy. The other two guys have no business shooting beyond
the
arc.
They're the same height, or at least Alandis Harris is.
But they have inside games. I don't have a problem with
Cody Clark's got inside game, too.
But he's shown me that he could shoot jump shots, too.
Occasionally.
He's a little more like, who was the kid we just had, the 6'7 forward? Marshawn Powell.
Marshawn Powell.
He's Marshawn Powell-ish. To me, that's a
but
similar.
But he's a bigger
player.
Body. He's the guy that you want down low, being that force.
He's not that big. He's long.
6'8", 6'7".
Well, he's long. He's,
yeah,
not
he's long.
Thick.
Well, Alandis Harris is Jarnell Stokes. He's not that big. He's 6'8".
He's going to look like a man tomorrow.
He is. But I would rather not see our big men take threes and get inside and get in the paint.
Admittedly, I don't have a problem with that. However, you know, the alleged shooter on this team.
Alleged.
I guarantee you, he's not shooting a better percentage from three than Cody Clark is in SEC play. Am I right? Well, look at what's his name? Who's the guard that shot? He was 1 of 5 the other day from the arc. 1 of 7 overall. You can't think of a shooter when I name it.
Josh Richardson.
No, from Arkansas.
From Arkansas.
Bro.
Oh, you're talking about Rashad Madden?
No. He's doing fine.
Anthon Bell?
Bell.
Oh, Bell, yes.
If you look at Clark's percentages in SEC play from three and you look at Bell's.
Yes, I'll give you this. It's better than Bell's. Yes.
I don't really want anybody besides Madden at this point taking threes.
And not at the end of the game, though, like you did.
If Kiko's wide open, I got no problem with him shooting threes either. But in general, you're right. I want him to go inside and get better shots.
Yes, and to get inside and get better shots, your big men got to stop hanging out behind the perimeter.
We're going to talk about things outside of Arkansas basketball today, too, because I know that if you listen to the show for 3 hours and had to listen to Arkansas basketball talk the entire time, you'd tear your hair out. The countdown to Arkansas finding a defensive coordinator still underway, I guess. Brett Bielema did allude to the fact that he is still considering in-house candidates.
Okay.
When it happened initially, again, everybody thought Randy Shannon would be in the mix. I assume that he is. I assume that he's one of the candidates that he's considering.
I wonder if he still is after all this time. Wouldn't you think, after this amount of time that you've had, the past week or so, to interview candidates, consider your options, that he would certainly be considered if you haven't named him yet?
No, because...
With recruiting on the line the way it is right now, don't you want that person named as soon as possible?
I think,
when these kids are coming in on their official visits over the weekend, they know, hey, that's going to be my defensive coordinator.
Ideally, yeah, but I also think that you want to find, A, the right guy, and B, you want to do it as long as it takes. So the bottom line is, quicker is better, admittedly, but he may have gone, hey, Chris, do you want the job? And you said no. I said, well, now I got to go back to the drawing board. So you're going to do your due diligence. You're going to interview as many guys as you think are worthy of the job that you'd be comfortable hiring if things go well in the interview process. They're accepting of the job. The salary meets their needs. And if that doesn't work out, then you circle back around and go, well, I know Randy Shannon would take a promotion because I'm pretty sure he could use an extra $200,000 or $300,000.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying I think that the chances of Shannon have gone down because he hasn't been named yet.
Well, my point is,
you asked him already and he said no. Well, then, okay, he's not going to be named.
Why would he say no? That doesn't make any sense. The point is, he's probably
might not want it.
He's searching out other guys who might want the job.
And then if they all turn you down.
Yeah, or maybe he hasn't offered it to anybody. Maybe he didn't find anybody who really attracted him after he met with him. He's like, eh, I don't know, I wasn't as impressed with that guy as I thought.
Maybe.
So, yeah, I agree, though. I mean,
I would just think
the one common ground we can step to is that Sooner's probably better with it being prime recruiting season.
Yes.
But again, I think as long as you got the head coach in place, you've got your position coach in place more than likely, unless they shift some people around on the defensive staff. I mean, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal.
Typically, your position coach, too, is a guy that you are a little bit closer with on the team. So
right. And, and they may shift guys. Like, if they hire a guy that's, you know, specific to linebackers, typically, that's going to coach linebackers and defensive coordinator, like Ash was the safeties coach or whatever.
Yes.
You know, then you might see a shift. But again, I don't think at the end of the day you're playing for Bielema in the university, so I think it's going to be fine. One positive note for Arkansas, and then we'll move on. I know some people want to weigh in on the defensive coordinator situation, too. Hogs are 38th in the RPI in basketball. Is that hard to believe? I was surprised by that. I read that this morning. 38th in the RPI. Does that seem possible?
No. Mm-hmm. Actually, no.
Well, the strength of schedule is a little bit better now.
Early on.
Than it's going to be later. Because
yes.
The only other quality team Arkansas plays the rest of the way is Kentucky, right? Does Arkansas play at Florida?
Well, Missouri, you could argue, is a quality team. They've been teetering on the top 25 throughout the year.
But their RPI is only 35. Arkansas's only quality road game left will be Kentucky. And the only home game worth a darn that's left is Missouri, really, if you look at RPI.
And road game, too. They do go to Missouri.
That's two. You get two cracks at Missouri, and you get Kentucky on the road.
So
if you somehow win two of those three, which I don't think is likely at all, admittedly, because two of those are road games. That helps you immensely in the RPI, because the rest of the games are going to help tank your RPI. I guess in the end of the day, you're lucky you're only playing. If I had to choose playing Auburn on the road and Auburn at home, or just playing Auburn at home, I'd probably just play them once at home. I wish that game was on the road. I wish the South Carolina game was on the road, but they're not. So there you go. Some of these teams they have to play are much better at home, much like Arkansas. Some are not so much. Unfortunately, South Carolina and Auburn are not much better at home than they are on the road, and those are two games that Arkansas is hosting, so that's not good. We'll talk some NFL coming up. The Sherman talk continues, which is amazing to me. I cannot believe this has caused such a firestorm. He did apologize, by the way. That's the bottom line on that. The Super Bowl of weed. This is the Super Bowl game with two states that have legalized marijuana use for recreation. Last year was the Har Bowl. This year, what's the nickname for this game? And again, you got a lot of storylines working. It's the first cold weather Super Bowl. It's the first Super Bowl in New York. It's the first weed bowl between two states that are teams in two
the
states.
The unofficial
that are,
weed bowl.
But my point is, I mean, there's a lot of ways to go with this. I mean, the game's being played technically in New Jersey. Got Chris Christie working. Hopefully he'll keep the highways
the traffic
open.
Clear.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll have to, like, helicopter the teams into the stadium. I don't know how that works. But anyway, you want to talk about a guy that has done himself more harm in the last 2 weeks. It's like, okay, you're getting skinnier. You're moving towards the GOP nod. No!
Traffic jam!
If you're rooting for somebody else to win the Republican nomination the next time around, that's fine. But if you were rooting for him, that does not feel good right now. Hazelwood.
Hey, what's going on, Justin?
How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing wonderful this morning. Okay, to weigh in on the defensive coordinator thing, let's just throw out a synopsis that there was a head coach at a major university that was let go amid some allegations, and that university is still paying him money, and he cannot have a defensive coordinator's job or a head coaching job, or else he would forfeit that money. And let's say on February 1st, that is lifted, and then he could be named defensive coordinator, associate head coach. And what if Arkansas had such guy on campus right now?
If you're talking about Jim Tressel?
No, sir.
If
somebody on campus right now.
Who would it be?
Butch?
Randy Shannon.
I didn't realize Randy Shannon had...
Yes, from Miami, and it goes away February 1st.
I did not know this. See, Hazelwood, that's the kind of information I love.
Hey, you tell the recruits, we've already got this in place. We can't announce it until after February the 1st. But, I mean, it's in place. That's why they haven't announced yet. That's just my thoughts on it.
I did not know that.
There's no way. Well, think about it, Justin. There's absolutely no way you can announce a defensive coordinator with signing day so close. You've got all of these big recruits coming in. So I think it's a done deal. He's got to wait till February 1st for that to go away. He still gets his pay from Miami. Boom, he's defensive coordinator, or at the very worst, co-defensive coordinator. But he's going to get a bump come February 1st.
All right, I like that line of thinking, I guess. I like Coach Shannon.
Well, sure, he's a great recruiter. I mean, he goes down, and the kids love him. So, I mean, we kept thinking, there's a snafu. What's wrong? Is there a skeleton in the closet? What's wrong? So me and some buddies dug into it, and there's your answer right there. And I think that's why nobody said anything yet, is because they're waiting on February 1.
Where did you find that information?
You got to dig, brother. It took us a minute.
Where did you find the information? Again, I go back to my original
question.
Where did you find it?
Huh?
Where did you find it?
Actually, it was a buddy of mine that pulled it up and called me immediately and said, dude, look.
Pulled it up where?
I will call. I've got Joe's number. I'll text Joe here in a minute and give you the info.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got Joe's.
I didn't know. Is it that secretive? I mean, did he have to like go undercover to get this information?
I don't know. My buddy pulled it up and called me immediately and said, "Look what I just found."
Why don't you just call back and tell Matt off the air if he can tell us what it is? I'm just curious where you got it. I don't doubt your sources. I'm just curious what they are. It's cool, Hazelwood. I appreciate it.
You should be able to. I mean, you're good with the computer. I'm not. You should be able. That should be real easy. I mean, Miami still, you know, would still be paying him. That would have to be public record because it's not a private institution like a Vanderbilt or a Stanford. So that should be public record, just like at the U of A.
Hmm.
You know, like we're paying Pelfrey, that should be public record.
All right.
I don't think it's anything that's hidden.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, later, brother.
Thanks. Is Miami a public institution?
No, it's private.
That's what I thought. Okay. Well, good. It was a good story, though. Let's go with it. Ideas, names for the Super Bowl. Ethan calls it the Buzz Bowl. Buzzed Bowl, get it?
Yeah.
Todd has called in the Smoke a Bowl. Okay, it's obvious. It's a good one. I like it. Jack.
Hey, I was just listening to you guys. Hazelwood, when he mentioned about Randy Shannon, on Drive Time, Trey Biddy kind of hinted around exactly what Hazelwood said.
Okay.
And that's what I was calling about, but I just figured I'd give you, that's what they kind of hinted on the other still. So I just thought I'd let you know on that info. And thanks, I like your guys' show.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate
You're welcome.
It. Jack, thanks for calling in. I like you as a caller and a listener now. Ryan.
Hey, Justin.
What's up?
Actually, I kind of disagree with you a little bit on one thing. I usually agree with you for the most part.
You should.
But on the defensive coordinator thing, I think it really is a big impact for recruiting right now. And just think about it from this standpoint. Say you got somebody like Chris Smith, which was kind of undersized as a defensive lineman, but he was great off the edge. If you're recruiting a guy like that, he could love his positions coach, but if he doesn't know what kind of defensive scheme we're going to be running, I mean, because you got to realize if we run a 4-3 now and we've got a smaller, quick guy coming off the edge, if they bring in a guy that runs a 3-4, he doesn't want to play inside the tackles. Or if you've got a corner that loves to play man coverage – that doesn't really, you know, want to play zone coverage, that could be a big impact if you have a defensive coordinator come in and switch the whole defense.
Ideally, obviously, it'd be great to have the entire staff in place in these last couple weeks of recruiting, admittedly. But you also have a coach who's defensive-minded who played defensive line. So I'm going to guess that he has some idea what kind of defense they're going to play next year, regardless of who the coordinator is. So if he wants to run
absolutely
a four-man front, he's not going to hire a guy that wants to run a 3-4. So
right, and I do agree with you 100% on that. And that's the biggest thing is you just don't want to – because, I mean, I'm actually speaking from experience. I played for a team that, you know, I was brought in to be almost like a blitzing linebacker from a three-man front, and I was excited about it because I was a taller, quicker defensive end in high school. So I was loving it. Well, they brought in a new defensive coordinator, and I got stuck between the tackles, and I got hammered until we went back to a four-man front.
Yeah,
that's something that could impact recruiting. But again, if Brett Bielema's got his system and he's not going to change from that, then having that security blanket would be nice as a recruiter.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I guess my point at the end of the day, Ryan, is I want him to move quickly, but I want him to get the guy that he's the most comfortable with. And if he feels like waiting another week to get the guy that he wants and the guy he thinks he can get, but he has to wait for whatever reason, maybe it has something to do with the Shannon situation, I'd rather he wait. But, yeah, I understand your point. Yeah, sooner certainly better than later if you can do it, for sure. I appreciate the call. I agree with that.
Get the guy in.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Let's get Danny in here, and we'll take a timeout. What's up, Danny?
Hey, y'all. I was just wondering, I've been wondering this for a while. Why did Aaron Andrews leave ESPN for Fox?
Paycheck, I assume.
I think so, okay.
ESPN's pretty renowned for not paying the highest of wages, and she's a pretty hot commodity for whatever reason.
And they gave her own show. They basically took her from being the sideline reporter to, hey, you're going to host – Yep. Fox, college game day.
Now she gets to host a show that no one watches.
Yeah, I have to figure out hosting that show, come think of it. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, there are lots of people who understand that. I mean, there's more money is not always the best thing. Now she's getting some cool opportunities. Again, got to work an NFC championship game the other day. She's doing baseball, like you talked about, with a college opportunity. I'm sure if the money was substantially more, it's certainly a no-brainer, but you're now on a network that nobody watches basically day in and day out. Now, the sideline stuff is still high profile, so you got that going for you. Basically, there was no negative. You're still doing the sideline stuff, which was really your bread and butter.
And she's got all of her endorsements still, outside of that. Right. So she really, I think, went for a bigger paycheck
and
get out of the shadows of ESPN and try to do her own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, I don't watch...
Yeah, neither she nor Carissa Thompson nor any of the other slappies they brought in over on Fox
and
Sports
how about
One
that?
Has mattered.
They got the two blonde bombshells thinking they would get viewers, and their college game day ratings, not even in the same realm as ESPN's.
No,
I mean, almost irrelevant.
Everybody knew it would take a long time to build an audience over there, but you it's just a battle you can't win. Now, you can carve out a niche, maybe, and you can make some money. And as long as you have a successful business model, which ESPN has done, fine, maybe you can make it work, but you're not going to make it work to the same level ESPN has.
No.
I mean...
They're the empire.
Yeah, they own the market. I mean, it is what it is. They got too many advantages over you. I will say this. Fox has some, from a radio standpoint, I think over the years they've made some questionable decisions, but in general, they've got a good concept. I think their imaging is really good. They do some good things. I think they got rid of some of the most talented people in radio. I think Siciliano is unbelievably talented. And again, it comes down to money, and that sort of became... the concept. I mean, you see it at all the major corporations. They are cutting, cutting, cutting.
Yes.
Luckily, that's not our concept around here. I mean, we try to bring in the best talent we can bring in. But, you see Siciliano get cut, and I was like, why did you do that? Then they got rid of the morning show that had Steve Zabin on it, who is, bar none, I've said it a million times on the show, bar none, the best morning show on the planet as far as morning shows.
Really?
National morning shows. No competition. It's not even close.
Wow.
Their show is 1,000 times better than Mike and Mike. It's not even close.
And you guys air Mike and Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we're an ESPN affiliate, and we're happy to be one. I mean, we get a lot of great programming. NBA Finals. We get a lot of good college programming. We get a lot of bowl games. I mean, there's a lot of upside to being part of the ESPN product. I love it. But I would also say he's on Yahoo Sports. I mean, his morning show, listen to it sometime.
Okay.
It is exponentially better than anything else you're going to hear from a national perspective in the morning.
Okay.
So much more entertaining, so much more thoughtful, so much more fun. And while they'll poke at people, it's not always about being negative and hating on people. It's really just a great all-around show. 10:32. I'll promote shows on other